Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. And we're going to talk about the tables in the temple. Christ supposedly came along and tipped over tables of the money changers in the temple. What were the money changers? Why were they needing to change money? Well, the Levites had always been money changers. They'd always been changers of contributions. You give a contribution in a particular, you know, you give a sheep, you give some oil, you give cheese, whatever it is that you were donating, a tenth of what you produced to your minister. And eventually that would get up to the temple itself through the tens, hundreds, and thousands. And they would give that, and it would be used to take care of the needy of society. And it was burnt up to the people who gave it. They had no right. It wasn't an investment. It wasn't a deposit for themselves. They give it up. They cast their bread freely upon the waters, but they actually are giving it to ministers who are supposed to help take care of the needy of society and what was called pure religion. This is what all these temples and social welfare systems were. They were actually practical institutions to help bind society together. And in the case of Moses and Abraham and Christ, they were bound together by faith, hope, and charity. They don't call it charity in the Old Testament. They call it free will offerings. But that's what they were doing. That's what the temples were all about. Temples were actually not buildings, but areas in which you put sometimes buildings, sometimes a tent. It's an area in which you would bring your contributions that would be redistributed to the needy of society. Now, most of that took place on the local congregational basis, the tents of the congregations. But occasionally there was major disasters and the Levites became the faith emergency ministry auxiliary of that society. They, you know, if there was fire, invasion, or a famine, a drought, they would bring supplies along the way. And we see Paul and Barnabas doing this. We see the early church doing it, you know, where they collect and they help out. And of course, when they were cast out of different areas, like when they fled Jerusalem, when the Romans were surrounding all about Jerusalem, and the Christians fled. They got free passage from Titus, who said that they could go by. Well, where'd they go? Well, they went to this network of Christians who were already helping one another in this special baptism of sacrifice that we talked about earlier with Christ, you know, where you lay down your life daily to help others in small ways, but so that when the big ways come where you really need to help, you have the network in place, the body in place to help one another, to love one another. So the Bible talks in Matthew 15:27, and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Well, what's she talking about? She's giving a metaphor of dogs eating from. She was asking for help, and Christ says, "I've come for the lost sheep." And she makes this argument of humility, and he helps her. In Matthew 21:12, we see, "And Jesus went into the tables of the Lord and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables." He cast them out. Then he went around tipping over the tables. No, the word there actually means it wasn't change rolling on the ground. He turned those tables over. To who? He was firing the money changers. They talk about him making this string whip. The place where you see a string whip in history is with men like Tutankhamun, pharaohs, rulers. They would have a hook, a crook, where they would catch the sheep. And they say, "Oh, you're hired." But then they'd have a string whip, "You're fired." And this is how they ruled. They fired the ministers of government who were not doing a good job. And they hired ministers of government who were doing a good job. And in the case of Moses and Jesus Christ, their ministers were servants. They had no exercising authority. They were not kings. They were not rulers. They were not archē. They were leaders, but not rulers. People got to choose. But when they chose a king who could exercise authority, then he was going to end up taking and taking and taking and taking And how does he take? He appoints the men on the tables where you have to contribute. And Jesus saw corruption. And there are many places. Their Corbin was corrupt. The thieves and robbers were breaking in. They were eating away the substance of the treasury because the offerings were now compelled offerings. They were forced by statute. Before, under the Levites, they were given according to the services of the ministers they gave to. And they gave to this minister, and they only had to give a half shekel every year. But technically speaking, they should be tithing in order to support a society through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. And this is what they were doing. And the tables were simply the place where these funds would come in. Now, why was there change on these tables? Why was there money? Why was there a clip? We tell you, I mean, we're talking millions of dollars that were going to be collected in the month of Adar. And Jesus goes and casts out the money changers because they were corrupt. Who had the power to do that according to Jewish law? The king. King David could do that. Samuel could do that. King David could do that. He could say, no, I don't recognize you anymore. I cast you out. Well, Samuel could just say, I don't recognize you anymore as a minister of God. But David could exercise authority, so he could actually fire the guys. He could come up with that string whip and say, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're all fired. And now I'm going to turn these tables over to somebody else. And we're going to have free elections. You know when their election would be? Pentecost. That's because that's the big feast where they all come together at the wherever the tabernacle is set up, which in this case, because they had started making the tabernacle out of stone, which they were never, you were to be the stones of the temple of God, living stones. But when they made it out of dead stones, then it was in Jerusalem. And so everybody's going to come to Jerusalem and they're going to organize. 10 families going to pick this minister, and that minister is going to pick a minister along with 9 other ministers like himself. And then that minister gets together and they keep doing this. And so each step up in the government of God is the minister of ministers of ministers, servants of servants of servants, not rulers of rulers, because they don't operate that way. They don't exercise authority one over the other. And the money changers, all they were doing, if they get all these people bringing in sheep, they could sell some of the sheep and buy cheese or bread or wine, because we didn't have enough of that to distribute to the needy of society. That's what they were doing. They were able to do that. The Levites were able to do that, to sell whatever they had a surplus of so that they could redistribute to the needy. And they could eat of that table. But of course, if they became extravagant and squandered the funds, people could stop giving to them because it was free will offerings. But in governments where it's not free will offerings, if they're extravagant and they waste the funds, if they spend it on themselves, on their own pensions, on their own salaries, on their own benefits, you can't do anything about it because you're bound by your oath to pay in. You have to pay in. They tell you, they appoint your ministers who exercise authority one over the other, and you are snared in your own trap. That you were going to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. Now, your neighbor gets to force you to contribute to his welfare. So, if you believed in public school, where you force your neighbor to pay for your child's education, all the people who graduate from that school are likely to believe that they should be able to force you to pay for their health care. And it all seems reasonable. And it is. Because you stepped out of the reasoning of Christ, the reasoning of John the Baptist, the reasoning of Moses, the reasoning of the prophets, who said to live by free will offerings, not by force, not by the sword, but by free will offerings. Bind yourselves together by love. This was the message of Christ. This is why right away at Pentecost, when they're baptizing thousands of people and they're all getting kicked out of the congregations of the Pharisees, they sit down and say, we need to get organized. The daily ministration, the take care of the widows and orphans, is being neglected. And Peter says it's not right that we wait on tables. He knew he was an ambassador. He was an overseer. He's not supposed to be distributing and handling all this stuff. You guys look out amongst yourselves, find men of good report, and we will appoint them over this business of taking care of the tables. This is why Christ had to be crucified. That they were at the Passover time. 50 days from that, they're going to have Pentecost. And the people are going to get to decide who's going to run the tables, which is actually the word that you see translated into bank in the Bible, because this is where you build up the treasury. Most of the money, again, is taken care of down in the local congregations. It never sees its way to the temple because it's not a top-down kind of thing. But some money ends up at the higher, you know, those who are the highest amongst you, the highest servants, so that they can redistribute funds where it is really needed throughout the whole nation. And here you see them getting fired, and he's appointing other people to take care of this business, but he's been making it very clear that he wants the people to choose. So we know that when Pentecost comes, the Christians are going to choose the new guys to handle the tables, and the old guys are out. They're not going to be appointed from the top down, because that's what had happened. That's what had changed in history, first with the Hasmoneans and then with Herod. He was appointing all these ministers from the top down. Jesus came in and fired them. You're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. Turn the tables over to others temporarily for the next 50 days until you could have the election at Pentecost. And you can actually have an election any time during the year, but Pentecost is when they usually organize the upper echelons of this network of service. And that's what Christ was doing. So this is why they had to kill Christ, because they lost access to the money. Millions of dollars were coming in silver, but they weren't going to get to keep it. The appointees of Christ were going to get to keep it, but Christ was going to guarantee a free election at Pentecost. So they wanted to make sure Christ was out of the picture. And so they crucified him to save the whole nation from this crazy guy who believes in voluntary government without arche, without rulers who exercise authority one over the other. Of course, that only works with virtuous people. But this is where the controversy was. Today, the controversy is, what's a true Christian? And now you know. It's the people who don't live by the sword, don't live by forcing their neighbor to contribute, but the people who live by faith, hope, and charity. In order to do this, you need to come together in that faith, hope, and charity, and that perfect law of liberty. Elect the ministers of your choice in your congregations, and they get together with other ministers, and they get together with other ministers, electing their ministers, until you form a living network of servants, of servants, of servants. And then you will be free. You also probably be persecuted, but you will have God on your side because you have repented, confessed your sin, and gone the ways of God. And until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless. For more information, contact us at hisholychurch.org or email us at radio@hisholychurch.org or write us at His Church, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640.